WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. JMU honors several prominent black members of the community in renaming three buildings on campus. We have a General Assembly roundup, and one of the first surveys of preferences for Virginia governor is out, and not surprisingly, lots of people are undecided. It's early in the race. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, February 22nd. James Madison University's Board of Visitors on Friday approved new names for three campus buildings originally named after Confederate figures. The new names will honor black leaders at JMU, past and present, from staff to students to professors. In a statement, President Jonathan Alger said that the new names, quote, celebrate the contributions and accomplishments of important individuals and groups who have historically been underrepresented. The new names are Gabbin Hall, after Drs. Joanne and Alexander Gabbin; Darkus Johnson Hall, in honor of Dr. Shiri Darkus Johnson, JMU's first black student and graduate; and Harper Allen Lee Hall, in honor of Doris Harper Allen and Robert Walker Lee, both staff members and active members in the local community. JMU students and community leaders had pushed for the name changes for years. Renewed attention last year to the problems of police brutality and white supremacy after the police killings of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd led the board to decide to remove the old names last summer. Full disclosure, WMRA's operating license is held by JMU's Board of Visitors. All right, let's review what the General Assembly was up to on Friday, and it was a busy week last week. Legislators in Richmond are considering a bill designed to keep guns out of the hands of people convicted of domestic violence. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When Republicans were in power, Democrats tried again and again to keep guns out of the hands of people who have been convicted of domestic violence. Time and time again, they failed. Now that Democrats are in control of the General Assembly, they may be poised to finally accomplish that goal this year. Senator Barbara Favola is a Democrat from Arlington.
The calls that police officers go on, 70% of them are related to domestic violence. In fact, removing a firearm, our police chiefs would say, actually protects our police officers.
Senator Bill Stanley is a Republican from Franklin County who opposed this bill and others Democrats are pressing this year.
We want to give more people expungements and rights and restoration of stuff, but it always seems to be these bills fall right down the line of what you want to do, which is to restrict the Second Amendment. Can't have a gun near a polling place. Can't have a firearm if domestic assault occurs for 3 years. Now you can't have one under your pillow next year. Pretty soon you can only hunt with your finger.
Last year and this year, Democrats approved a host of new gun control bills that will be law this fall during campaign season, when voters will have an opportunity to weigh in when they elect all 100 seats in the House of Delegates and all three statewide constitutional offices.
The General Assembly is also taking action to remove some divisive symbols from public view. Here's Michael again.
Say goodbye to Jefferson Davis and Harry Byrd. Lawmakers are poised to remove the statue of the segregationist governor from Capitol Square. They're also about to force local governments to change the name of parts of Route 1 known as Jefferson Davis Highway. Delegate Joshua Cole is a Democrat from Fredericksburg who introduced the bill to force local governments that haven't already renamed stretches of Route 1 to do it this year or face the consequences.
We are removing Jefferson Davis Highway, and localities can change the name before January 1 of 2022, and if they don't, we will change it for them.
And then there's the statue of Harry Byrd, the segregationist former governor who led the effort to close schools rather than integrate them during the dark days of massive resistance. Delegate Jay Jones is a Democrat from Norfolk who introduced the bill to remove the statue, originally erected in 1976.
This is not some sort of destruction of the statue. If we want to contextualize it later, I think that's fine, but it has no place in Capitol Square.
The bills to ditch Jefferson Davis and Harry Byrd have both passed the House and are awaiting a final vote in the Senate. Michael Pope.
On Friday, Virginia's Senate approved updates to absentee voting in the Commonwealth. Some of the changes were prompted by the November election. Ben Pavier with partner station VPM reports.
A statewide surge in absentee voting meant some results were slow to come in. The legislation from Democratic delegate Skylar Van Valkenburg calls for registrars to finish processing mail-in ballots before polls close rather than waiting until after. It also makes some temporary changes from the November election permanent. It requires ballot drop boxes that were optional in the November vote. And if a voter makes a mistake that would stop their ballot from being counted, election officials would have to let them know and give them a chance to fix it. Republicans universally voted against the bill. Some previously argued drop boxes could lead to fraud, though there's no evidence to support that. A companion bill still needs to pass the House of Delegates before going to Governor Ralph Northam. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Also in Richmond on Friday, the state Senate killed a House proposal to make the state's new redistricting commission more transparent. The bill would have required the commission meetings to be advertised and accessible to the public. The commission will draw the Commonwealth's electoral districts every 10 years. The law already requires the commission to allow public comment at meetings. A bill to reduce carbon pollution, in part by getting more zero-emissions vehicles on the road, cleared a key hurdle in the Senate. The measure, considered a top priority this year for environmental advocates, would require that starting in 2024, a certain percentage of new passenger vehicles sold by manufacturers be electric or hybrid electric. Another measure would also invest public money in rebates for electric vehicle purchasers. A pilot program enabling Virginia's two largest utilities to provide broadband services advanced last week. Smaller internet service providers say they can't afford the cost of providing broadband to many rural areas, so lawmakers want to allow Dominion Energy and Appalachian Power to step in because they are already installing fiber optic cables in disconnected areas. The Senate approved a bill that would make those projects long-term and eligible for renewal. Those changes still need to be accepted by the House. And both chambers have also passed bills that allow certain first responders to file workers' compensation benefits for being disabled from COVID-19. More Virginians are having trouble getting access to food because of COVID-19. A bill before the General Assembly that would offer food banks assistance may also have effects after the pandemic is over. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
Sometimes farmers don't have a market for food. You might say they should just donate it, but harvesting that food costs money. Unfortunately, it's often just cheaper for farmers to plow their crops into fields. The USDA says 30% of food waste happens at the farm level. Senator Ghazala Hashmi of Richmond has a bill creating a fund to help food banks pay to produce and buy local food. Eddie Oliver is the head of the Federation of Virginia Food Banks.
A bill like this will just make it a lot easier for us to diversify our food sources, especially nutritious foods like produce and dairy.
Food banks are probably going to rely on farmers more and more because businesses have less excess food to donate these days.
Retailers and manufacturers are getting a lot more efficient. So there are just fewer donations, food donations overall, that we have access to.
Feeding America tracks hunger in the U.S. The group predicts almost 500,000 Virginians will become food insecure due to the pandemic. I'm Jad Khalil.
A judge ruled on Friday against GOP candidate for governor Amanda Chase in her lawsuit over the state Republican Party's unsettled plans for this year's nominating contest. The ruling leaves the state's Republican Party to figure out for itself how it wants to pick its nominees for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. So far, party leaders have been deadlocked over the issue. Chase, a far right-wing state senator who called for former President Trump to declare martial law to steal last year's election, has advocated for a primary. A new poll from Christopher Newport University's Wasson Center asked more than 1,000 registered voters in Virginia whom they would support to be their party's nominee for governor this year. Most of them are undecided. Patrick Larson with VPM reports.
Terry McAuliffe leads the Democratic pack with 26% of blue voters saying they'd choose him if polls open today. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax comes in second with 12%, while former delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy and Senator Jennifer McClellan each sit at 4%. The Wasson Center poll puts Senator Amanda Chase in the lead among registered Republican voters with almost twice as much interest as Delegate Kirk Cox. However, about half of voters from either party haven't made any decisions yet, meaning much could change. Normally, Wasson Center's polls would target likely voters. Because it's uncertain how Republicans will choose their nominee, researchers told me they contacted registered voters instead.
That's Patrick Larson reporting. And finally today, Fort Monroe was designated on Friday as a site of memory by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization's Slave Route Project. Fort Monroe is known as the historic site where the first enslaved Africans arrived in North America in 1619. Dr. Rex Ellis is president of the National 400-Year Commission on African American History and Culture.
Our collective presence here today honors their lives, their work, their resilience, and the significance of these Americans, not just here at Freedom's Fortress, but wherever the African American presence has shaped and contributed to our nation and the world.
At the ceremony, Governor Ralph Northam said Virginia is continuing to, quote, seek historic justice and to tell a story that is, quote, more inclusive and fair to our true history. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Monday.